We're very honoured once again to have His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco in our studios. Good morning, Prince Albert.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here again.
And very good to see you. Well, see you. I mean, it's doesn't time fly? The children, 3 years old now.
Yeah, we had a three-tier celebration for them over the weekend, and it was it was great, and they're doing fantastically well, and they're healthy and fun and playing all the time, and they're just a great joy to be around with. And when they come and wake us up in the morning, it's the best part of my day, at least. But they're fantastic, and so we're thrilled, and we're gonna try to put them on skis in a couple months. And they're very good swimmers, of course, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
And they can't stop, of course, at that age. You can't stop running around and wanting to try different things. But I think they have good athletic potential. So I hope they'll be doing well in sports.
Have they got their first Monaco football shirts yet?
Oh yes, they do. Well, they've had several. They were given the other day Barcelona jerseys. So I said, don't go and support them all the time. But they did have, thank goodness, Monaco jerseys before that. So,
well, don't mention Barcelona to me following the Champions League draw. But,
sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also next year for you, I mean, a personal milestone, you're going to be 60. Where's the last 10 years gone? Is there going to be a lot of razzmatazz for that, or should we just go and get hammered?
Let's take the second option. I don't think there'll be a lot of razzmatazz. What we'll try to do a little private celebration. 60 is the new 40, so I feel okay.
That's good.
No, but what we're planning to do with Charlene is to probably do a joint birthday, because she'll be. I shouldn't say this because you shouldn't talk about ladies' age, but we could potentially celebrate, if we join our birthdays, celebrate our 100th. She'll be 40.
That's excellent.
So it should be fun. But we'll do it at a later date, later on in the year.
When you look back over the last 10 years, what do you think you've achieved in the principality since then?
Well, I think that we're on a very good course, both economically, both on our development. Of course, there. If you look at the physical development of Monaco, there's a lot of construction sites around town. That's difficult to manage. Of course, it's a big imposition on our community, and we've had some complaints, and I totally understand them. We've tried to phase things and not to do everything at the same time, but you know, some things you have to do. If it's infrastructure work and all that, there's a certain time frame in which to do that. But other projects like the land extension, like what's going on the Casino Square, the renovation of the Hotel de Paris, and the renovation of the Winter Sporting, that was pretty much decided to that we should do that at the same time, and they'll be ready by the end of next year. But over the next less than a decade now, there'll be over 30 different projects in Monaco, the largest one being, of course, the land extension, and then the new hospital. But we are very wary of trying to preserve a good quality of life for everybody, and so we have to be more attentive to reduction of different nuisances and noise pollution also is a very, very important factor. So we're very much aware of that. But I think overall the principality is doing well, both in traditional economic indicators, tourism, service industry, and that's why we're able to run a surplus budget for the past 7 years, to have no debt, no foreign debt. And to have a healthy economy and a healthy social system, a healthy health system and educational system. And then, of course, other international events that we've been able to attract here kind of reinforce Monaco's positioning and Monaco's image, we're very satisfied with that. And then, of course, we've been able to satisfy a few days ago that we're off of all the gray lists of any organization that runs these kind of lists, and so we're totally compliant with any financial and any measures of fiscal transparency and so forth. So I think we're in a very good position. We have to maintain, of course, the priorities that I was able to set up for Monaco a few years ago, and that is development, yes, but in a sustainable way, and we're going to continue in that manner. And, of course, other battles that I've tried to help with concerning the environment, the fight against climate change, the fight for clean energy, and of course, very important and very worrying world problem, plastic pollution, and that is still one of our priorities, and oceans is very much at the heart of our preoccupations in Monaco. So, but we were able also to put forward a plan, sort of a white paper for our energy transition, to have in different sectors of our economy, and that's why we involved not only public service but also different industrial companies and different economic players at Monaco, and we were able to put this plan together to be able to meet the targets that I set for Monaco. So I will repeat them for you now. It's an 80% reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 and carbon neutrality by 2050. And so you might ask me, but that's, or you might tell me, that's easy for a small country to do, especially when you don't have any heavy industries. Well, you'd be surprised at how difficult it is to, first of all, to bring everybody together, even though we are a small community, but there are a lot of progress that we need to make in not only transportation, but also positive energy, turning our buildings into positive energy buildings, these sort of things. We still have a ways to go, but we're on a very good track, and at least we have pretty much everybody on the same page, and that's a very good way to be in, and I'm very very confident about the future.
Well, you certainly found a great ally in environmentalists and President Macron. Mm-hmm. How do you think he'll be able to help persuade the Americans in particular to come on board the Paris Climate Accords?
Well, that's going to be a huge task. We did have conversations about that with other leaders, and while I was at the summit in Paris, there is some hope in that, as you know, in the United States, there's still some very committed people outside of the federal government, mayors of big cities, governors of some states, the business leaders that have pledged to continue their greenhouse gas reduction schemes, and so I'm confident that the progress will be made by these people. And I think there'll be increasing pressures put on the U.S. government within the United States to do more and to at least not pull out of the Paris Agreement.
Well, when you look at the environmental disasters that are taking place on a weekly basis on us now, even if you don't subscribe to global warming, it's hard to deny that climate change is affecting everybody, from the fires in California. We had our own devastating fires here in the south of France over the summer.
Absolutely.
Flooding, hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So something has to be done.
Absolutely. And we've noticed all these extreme weather events and all these extreme and large fires because of the drought, and that's a terrific concern in all countries, as we can see. So I think there is now there's more of a conscience of all this, and a realization that there is an urgency, and that's what several of us have been able to say for years now. Because we, you know, when you listen to scientists and when you have the data, and of course there's need for more information all the time. But with the information that we've been able to get, that I've been able to get over the past few years, I was convinced of the urgency of to address climate change in a very serious way, in a very dramatic way. And we have to. There's no other way. You can look at the problem in different ways and different angles, but the bottom line is we have to move in the fastest way possible to a low carbon economy. There's just we can't go on pumping billions of greenhouse gases into our atmosphere every year. And unfortunately, there was a lull, and the numbers looked to be a little bit better a couple of years ago, and now it's right back up. It's more than anyone had predicted, and so we have to come to that that conclusion that we cannot go on in a business as usual model. It's and President Macron was very clear about that the other day, and so we have to figure out, and that's of course we have to innovate in a lot of different ways and come up with the technical and technological solutions for to improve clean energy, to make it more affordable to everybody, and to implement these business models and to scale up whatever needs to be done to move to a diversity of different mechanisms, not only of carbon offsetting, but and carbon taxes, but the production of clean energy, be it solar, wind, geothermal, or other, and it'll inevitably be a mix of these solutions. But we have to move at a faster pace.
Closer to home, it's the fifth anniversary of the Princess Charlene Foundation. I was very pleased to attend the Water Bike Challenge earlier in the year. It was good to see David Coulthard doing something instead of swanning around Monaco on his bicycle.
Absolutely. But he did pretty well that that day. No, but it was a great event. And Prince Charlene's Foundation is doing magnificently well. And we've had, because I should say we, because I'm the vice president of that foundation as well, and so it's now set up in different countries, and there are programs, of course, in here in the region, in France, and in other European countries, but also in South Africa and in North America. They're about to launch something next year in South America. So slowly attending to all these needs for learn to swim programs, to water safety, to educational programs through sport and through team sports all over the world. And so I'm very happy with the development of Charlene's Foundation, and I'm very proud of her.
What happens to the moustache?
Well, I had pretty much said that I would discard it soon after the National Day. But it was an interesting exercise, and I enjoyed it for a while. Of course, it wasn't a huge hit with some of my friends and with my family, so that inevitably won that vote. And so I was going to try to keep it a little longer, but it's okay. It was starting to bother me also.
But there was a historical side, so it wasn't because of the anniversary of the Carabinieri.
Absolutely, you know that we decided that with the. With Colonel Frangon, the commander of both the Carabiniers and the fire brigade, so to pay tribute to the early generations of Carabiniers, as it was a tradition in the French military, and in fact in different armies of the world, that there, in fact, in some French regiments and in the gendarmerie also, it was mandatory from up until the First World War to have a mustache, because it was a symbol of authority and of manlyhood too. But and so to pay tribute to their forefathers, the Carabiniers decided to grow mustaches. And so by being their honorary colonel, it's a sign of solidarity. I said, I would do the same. And so I did, and I was very happy to do it. And you saw at the National Day that virtually all the Carabiniers had a mustache. And so I think it was a great symbol of esprit de corps and a great tribute to the early generations of Carabiniers.
Do you want to talk about football, or is it too painful?
No, we can do that.
Okay. Not going so well, is it?
No, it's been a difficult season, and we're hoping that it would turn out better. But after losing so many players from last season, last brilliant season last year, we knew it was going to be difficult. Didn't think it was going to be that difficult, especially on the European scene. So we're out of that. We're out of the Champions League, so now we have to concentrate on the league here, and we're still hanging on to second place, of course tied with Marseille and Lyon. But I'm hopeful that we can do well in the French Cup or in the League Cup, where we're in the quarterfinals, and I think we can still pull out a reasonably good season. And we have a lot of young players, and they're gaining more experience and more play time. And so hopefully we'll be able to hold on to that second spot. I don't know about doing better than that, but maybe do well in one of the cups, and we'll be building and getting ready for next year.
And do you think that pinching one of Chelsea's sort of staff is going to help at all, Michael Emanuele?
Yeah, well, I haven't met him yet, but I've heard some great things about him, and I'm sure that will help. There's always a need for someone of that caliber and that experience to keep the link between the staff and the players, and to, you know, keep boosting morale and to, you know, to tend to different little matters that players have that we don't always know about, but that can make a huge difference.
There's a bit of a link between Monaco and Chelsea going on, isn't there?
Yeah, you see. Years?
I mean, Didier Deschamps, Claudio Ranieri. I mean, yeah. I hear that Chelsea is sniffing around one of your players and looking to sign him in the January transfer window. We'll have to wait and see.
We have to wait and see, but I welcome this relationship, and it could be, could be very profitable for both of our clubs.
Finally, Prince Albert, it's very nice of you to come in.
Thank you.
I mean, here we are at the end of 2017, mm-hmm. and the world seems to be more divided than ever.
Yeah.
Problems in the UK, problems in the United mm-hmm. States, far-right passes in Europe. What's your message of hope for people at this difficult time and on this occasion of Christmas?
Well, these are very difficult and very troubled times, and a lot of uncertainty in the air. And that's never a comfortable position to be in, and for all of our countries. And there's still so many different problems out there. And still, although it's not as much in the news, there's still the migrant crisis in Europe, and there's still a lot of conflicts around the world and in the Middle East and elsewhere. And then the big question mark over what's how to deal with North Korea and their intentions. And so it's a very difficult climate. So I really hope that we can take advantage of this holiday season to reflect on where we are and on where we'd like to be. But of course, our great hope for peace is still very much alive, and I really wish everyone to, when they gather with their families and close friends, to reflect on how we can all, in our different capacities and different roles and different things that we can do in our lives to help, whether it's in our community or internationally, so locally, nationally, or internationally, what we can do, how we can play our part into making this a better world for all of us.
Your Serene Highness Prince Albert, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to everybody.